fabulous stuff ahead for our women. And I think one of the things that we do have to remember is when God has fabulous stuff ahead for us, there is also an enemy that would like to take that away from us. And sometimes we just have to deal with that and move forward. So today, just while I get all of this ready, I believe Ange was fabulous last week. So I'm calling to this morning the state of the heart. The state of the heart. And can I say, Rach, that was a fabulous word from you this morning about what, why would we be against ourselves if God is for us? That was great. I'm calling it the state of the heart address because Jesus was always concerned about the state of the heart. He wasn't concerned about the state of the face, the state of the hair, the state of the clothes. He was concerned about the state of the heart. What was going on inside was always much more important to Jesus than what was going on outside and what we were doing, so to speak. Now, we know Proverbs 4:23. If you've been around City Life Women long enough, you will know the guard your heart verse from Proverbs. And it's a really, really important verse because it actually says that you've got to guard your heart because everything in our life comes from it. And I'm calling it the state of the heart address because I don't know if you know, in America, the president every year does a State of the Nation address. And in the State of the Nation address, he takes a good look at where the nation is at. What is going on in the nation? And he also looks at what will go on in the future of that country. What is about to happen? So I'm calling it the state of the heart today because I want us to look at what's going on in our hearts this morning. What's going on in my heart this morning? I've had to deal with some stuff in my heart this morning. What's going on in our hearts this morning? One of the things I find really, really interesting is that Jesus spoke in parables. And we are fortunate enough to be given the explanation of the parable. I am really glad about that because sometimes we would just think, oh my gosh, what is going on? If you've got your Bibles, maybe turn to Matthew chapter 13. I want to read, it's a fairly long reading, but I want to read to you the parable of the seed and the sower because I actually think this talks a lot about the state of our heart and what we do with what we hear. It says, later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the forms of parables, such as this one. I love the way that there were so many people that he had to get off the ground and into a boat to get some space to be able to talk. He says, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. I kind of think the poor people, hopefully they understood a little bit about seed and about, you know, because you hear that and you go, well, how does that relate to us in the 21st century? We live in an urban world. And I mean, if you've ever lived in the country, you'll know that when seed is planted, some of it does actually get blown by the wind and you know, it gets dropped and it grows along the side of the road and it doesn't last very long because beside the road's not very good. It's shallow. And so we can kind of get a bit of an understanding if you've travelled our country roads how seed might wilt. If you've ever been to my place and seen some of my plants, you might understand why seeds might wilt as well. We seem to have enough grass growing at the moment. But what was Jesus saying? You know, what was Jesus saying? I mean, he actually says, I'm talking to you. Like the guys in his group, you know, his buddies, the disciples, they say, what are you talking about? talking to people in parables for? You know why they asked the question? Because they didn't know what Jesus was talking about. And I think they didn't want to look really stupid. Thankfully, Jesus decided he was going to explain it to them, and they recorded it. So we have the explanation. So before we get into it too much, let's look at this explanation. So in verse 18, it says, "Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy." We all know those kinds of people, don't we? But since they don't, we also know these kinds of people. "But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as have been planted." It's really interesting, isn't it? This picture of a farmer sowing seed. We have this picture of it. Well, I have a picture in my head of, you know, the tractor and the ploughed ground and everything going into the ground that way, because that's on the wheat farm, that's what happened. But the farmer was actually just tossing seed out. And Jesus says that seed is the word of God. The word of God goes out and it lands on all kinds of soil. The soil is what our heart is. And as the word is going out, what kind of soil is it landing on? I'm fascinated by this story because, on the whole, Jesus was talking to people who believed in God. He was not talking to pagans. He was not talking to people who had no understanding of who God was. He was actually talking to people who believed in God. And I think we need to be really careful and go, oh, well, that's not for us because we're already saved. We've got the word of God. No, we have to listen to this and say, all scripture is useful for teaching and preaching. Everything we have in the word of God is important for us to learn from. So this morning, let's not confuse, oh, I'm already saved, and think that this doesn't apply to us, because it does. And you know, we might think that our hearts are good soil, but if we look far enough, we might find that around the edges, it's a bit patchy, it's a bit hard, there might be a few rocks. I would really love us to examine our hearts. The reason is, not so that we can get down on ourselves, but so that we can actually deal with the issues and live the way God's called us to, and produce the fruit that God wants us to produce. See, God doesn't want us to have a hard heart. He wants us to have fruit. He wants us to have what the Bible calls a harvest of righteousness in our lives. So our lives right before God and able to reach out to other people before God. And I love that that's what God is all about. So let's look at these people. There were four types of people and four ways to receive the word. The first one was the path. It probably wasn't a concrete path, but it would have been where the soil was compacted down really, really, really hard. In my garden, my dogs have run a path, because they seem to like to go on the same way, and they have run a path through my grass. And it's a very clear pathway, and the ground is quite hard where they have run. So anything that falls on that ground doesn't grow. You're quite welcome. So anything that falls on the ground doesn't actually grow. Oh, how hilarious. Anyway, so like if you think of that, that's the kind of path this would have been. And the seeds just tossed out. It might have been where the farmer walked through the middle of the paddock every day, you know, tossing out this way, and some of it falls on that path. What happens? It gets trampled on. The birds come. The birds take it. They eat it. It just gets snatched away. And it actually says that the ground was hard and it didn't go in. And I ask the question, are there parts of my heart that are hard to the word of God? Are there parts of my heart that are hard to the word of God? Because it says that we have an enemy that comes, and the birds that take the natural seed, says we have an enemy that comes and just whips that seed out. And God's wanting to do something in our life. He's given us a word, and it might be a word about, could be anything. You know, Rach brought a great word this morning. Liz has a word this morning. Earlier in the prayer, this Rach had a great word from God. Listening, because it's going into the heart. Well, what word is God trying to speak to you? This is falling on the hard ground. The the enemy's coming and taking it away. Now, the Pharisees also had this kind of problem. They were so keen on being right by the law and by the word and whatever else that they completely missed the point of the word. Their hearts were hard. And I haven't got the reference for you, but I am always so saddened by the attitude of the Pharisees. When Jesus goes to the temple and there's a guy there with a withered hand, and Jesus heals the guy with a withered hand. The guy is rejoicing and praising God, and the Pharisees make a decision to kill Jesus. That is a hard heart. That is a heart that is so caught up with being legalistic and right that it's completely lost the point of what God is really wanting to do in their hearts. And Jesus was scathing towards the Pharisees. He was kind and compassionate and loving and caring to everybody. But he was scathing towards the Pharisees. And he said, you're so close to the kingdom of God, but you make it so hard for everybody else to get in. He was just, if you read what he says to them. So let's make sure that we're not like that. Let's make sure that our hearts are open. Jesus quoted Isaiah when he's talking to the Pharisees, and he says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. It is no use for them to worship me because they teach human rules as though they were my law. That was what Jesus' problem with the Pharisees were. They were making rules that were not there and expecting people to live by them and just making life really, really hard. Let's hope we don't do that for people. But let's examine our hearts, because I would hate to think that I would get caught up in a situation where what I thought was right stopped me from seeing what God was really doing in my life or in the life of another person. So let's examine our hearts. Is there some spots where there's some hardness that we need to deal with? I think it's a question of attitude, you know, in the end. It's a question of attitude. What attitudes are causing my heart to be hard towards God and His Word? If you're writing things down, that might be a good question to write down. What attitudes am I carrying? What attitudes do I hold that might be hard towards God and His Word? And then maybe think, what action do I actually need to take now to change that? What action do I need to take? These are really good questions. These are things that I've put the word I in there because I need to look at these as well. What questions do I need to ask myself? The second type of soil was the rocky soil. It says there's little soil here, but they sprout really, really quickly. The word goes in and there's a bit of water and whoop, up comes the plant. Who's had plants that do that? Up they come, you know, you put them in a little pot or whatever, up they come. What happens? Sun comes out, weather gets a bit tough, you forget to water it, whoops, and it just wilts. Just goes straight over, just gives up. You know the plants, they just give up. I like cactus because they just don't give up when I water them. If I forget, they just stay looking like a cactus. But other plants, if you don't water them, start to look very sick. They just give up. And there are people like this, aren't there? And I hope that none of us are like this. I hope none of us are like this. But these are people who are not allowing the Word of God to go deeply into their heart. They accept it with joy because they understand that the Word of God is great and important and really exciting and is there for us. And so they take it on with great joy. And then something happens and they go, oh, I tried God and it didn't work. Well, they just give up. We all know people like that, don't we? Do you know what? These people allow difficult circumstances to pull them away from God. They're looking at the circumstance, the trouble, the stuff that... Girls, just in case you hadn't worked it out, bad stuff happens, okay? Let's just get that right out of there. Bad stuff is going to happen. We're all aware of that. We've all experienced that. Okay, let's not allow the bad stuff to stop us from listening and hearing and taking in what the Word of God is saying to our lives. This rocky ground, what's the rock in your life? What are the little bits? Do you know what? You've got to get into soil that's rocky, and if you want to make it deeper, you have to pull out the rocks. And do you know what? Sometimes that's jolly hard work. If you've ever had to get a garden bed ready and it's been full of rocks, it's really, really hard work. But can I encourage you girls to take on that hard work? Because when you've got that garden bed right and you plant something in it, it will grow really, really, really well. So let's deal with the hard, rocky bits in our garden, in the garden of our heart. You know what? We're called to live with perseverance and endurance. We hate those words, don't we? Perseverance and endurance. In Colossians, it actually says that Paul is praying that they will have all joy in the perseverance and endurance that they suffer for God. Yeah, great, let's have all joy. But do you know what? If the word is not deep within us, if the word is not deep within us, then it's easy to turn away. And this happens because people don't make an effort to dig deep and to deal with the issues and to pull out the rocks that come into people's lives. We need to dig deep into our lives, pull out the stuff that's in there, and just really give ourselves a chance to allow the Word of God to go deep. Now, sometimes there are people who, really doesn't matter what you say, how you say it, when you say it, where you say it, they're not prepared to do the hard work, and you're going to spend a lot of time and energy with those people, encouraging, lifting up. I'm not saying don't do that, but what I'm saying is make sure that your own heart is right and that you've got your own rocks out, because you don't want to be the one that somebody else is spending a lot of time encouraging. Because there are some people who really, it doesn't matter what you do or say, are just not prepared to go deep and allow the Word of God to go deep in their lives. They take time and they take energy. It doesn't matter how much you fertilize, how much you water, how much you grow, if you don't deal with the rocks. The only remedy that is to deal with the hard issues that are taking up the space where the good soil should be. Deal with the rocky ground, pick it out. You can only do this, girls, by time with God and learning to live the word and apply the word. You know what? If we can do that, then life can become really, really great. Colossians 3:16 in the Good News Translation says, Christ's message in all its richness must live in your hearts. And the New Living Translation says, let the words of Christ in all their fullness live in your hearts and make you wise. And then it says, use his words to teach and counsel each other. See, the seed represents the word of God. Let it go deep into your heart, go deep into your heart, and then you will be able to teach and counsel other people. Let's check our hearts. What are the rocks? What are the rocks in my heart? What are the things that I get really excited about with the Word of God and then go, let me bother with that? Let's deal with it. Let's not allow the hard stuff to distract us from what God really wants. The next one are the weeds or the thorns. One of the translations says the bushes. The NLT says the thorns. I find that quite interesting, because anybody ever stepped on a thorn? Oh man, they hurt. Thorns are just a pain in the neck. This is where Jesus says, literally, if you step on them, they're a pain in the foot, really, aren't they? We got lots of bindies in our grass because we haven't cared for it properly. They hurt. They're thorns. They grow up amongst everything. But girls, I think when Jesus was talking about the cares of the world, we need to listen. Because in our Western society, the cares of the world dominate in everything. If you look at the TV, if you read the newspaper, does anybody read newspapers anymore? I do. if you look at the life around you, take 5 minutes to sit anywhere in Wollongong and watch the world go by, and you will see people caught up with the cares of the world. Why is this such a trap for us? I think it's because our society is so focused on the needing the better, the latest, the newest. And I think we can all get trapped into it. How many of us have a relatively new phone? Yeah, I have one that's only about 3 weeks old, you know. We think we need these things. There's nothing wrong with your new phone, girls, but don't let it distract you from the Word of God. Don't let it distract you from the things of God. See, somehow in our society, we think that we need to have, that more is better, that we need everything, that new is better. We end up getting trapped into worrying about worldly issues. We end up wasting time. We end up getting caught up and not allowing the Word of God to sit. And you know, it says that the Word actually grows. The soil is actually good in many ways, but it grows, but it is choked out by the other stuff. Do you know what? In my lovely garden at home, where the soil might be okay, but there's nothing else planted, the weeds grow really, 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 really well. I've got to pull out the weeds before I can plant something good. But the weeds have a really funny habit of coming back again. And just when we think we've dealt with that issue in our life, just when we think we've got the worldly stuff under control, something pops up and distracts us again. I find this fascinating because I struggle with this as much as anybody else. I get distracted by the cares of the world. I get distracted by backing into someone's car yesterday. Oops. I get distracted. Really great example. Here I am. What am I meant to be doing? Concentrating on the traffic? What am I thinking about? Today and a whole lot of other stuff that I had to do last night, what happens? I don't watch where the car is as I back out and I bump into it. Distracted by the cares of the world. You see, we can allow those things to completely take us away from what God wants us to do. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God. If you read Matthew 6:33, I love this. Let me just read a bit for you. See, Matthew 6:33 is kind of the culmination of what Jesus is saying here. But if you start a little bit earlier, he talks about it's only the pagans who worry about those things. He says, don't worry. Let's start at verse 31. Don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? Who had a struggle to think about what they're going to wear this morning? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. He will give you everything you need. See, we get so caught up in the cares of the world that we forget to seek the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, actually, that's what the unbelieving world does. As believers, we need to be different to that. We need to seek first his kingdom and let God deal with the rest. Now, I know that I have trouble with that, so I expect that other people do as well. You know what? If we seek first, God knows what we need. So let's get it right. You know, Matthew 11:28-30 says, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. He says, for my yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I give you is light. If you've got a care, if you've got a worry, if you've got something that you're struggling with, the Bible says give it to God. He knows what you need. He knows what your cares are. Give it to him. 1 Peter 5:7, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about what happens to you. I think we get it back to front. I think we carry our own cares and we forget about the kingdom. God says, give away your cares, carry the kingdom. We get it back to front. We give away the kingdom because we're carrying our cares. We need to flick that round. We need to flick it round. Sometimes we're actually thinking about the kingdom, but we go, oh, I can't do that cause, blah, 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 whatever excuse happens to be your personal pet one. We all have them, girls, don't... I have my own personal pet excuses as well. Too tired, too, you know, we know them, don't we, girls? We know what the excuses are. But Jesus actually says, seek first the kingdom of God. Do the kingdom of God stuff. Get that right. And then God will be looking after everything else. You just don't need to worry about it. I've asked a couple of girls to think about some of this stuff and what they do. Kay, do you want to just jump up?
I guess, I don't know, I haven't really come to an end conclusion, but the more I think about it, it's more like for me, it's making sure that I'm dependent on God. Like when your focus is right, nothing else around you should really matter. And I'm not perfect at it at all, because there's plenty in the world that jumps up and grabs me, but it's making sure that as soon as that gets me, that I stop where I'm at and I make sure, like, I seek God for it, or I pray about it, or, like, I speak to somebody else who I know can give me, like, support in doing that, because for me, like, I'm a talker. I like to talk things over. So I've got people in my life that I know I can say, hey, this has really got me right now. And other than that, I guess, yeah, my main thing is really, like, I journal lots. I'm a bit like Ange. Journal lots. So the more I, like, if I'm really caught up in something, I'll just journal or speak to somebody. Like, support, I guess, is what I've probably used the most.
Lizzie, you want to jump up and... Oh, she's writing points.
I'm the same. I spend time every day and I make sure I really seek God and put Him first. And something that I found lately, like, I always have made sure, like, I'm always reading the Bible every day and always journaling. But something that I have really thought of lately is the fact that it's not, like, it's about more than that, and actually seeking Him means actually, you know, going above and beyond that. And so I've been trying to put time aside each night when I would normally just be like, ugh, and actually use that time to seek God. And they're the times that actually God really honors that, because it's my relaxed time that I'm giving up, and I still relax, I don't not rest, but I make sure that He's before that. And I think just making those extra decisions to take that extra step, and to listen to what He's saying and to really pray into what He's doing in the kingdom, it sort of gets my mind off myself and my own things.
So what do you do when you find yourself worrying about stuff? How do you catch yourself?
I realize in my head and I declare the promises that God's given me, and that's often what those seeking times are. I this year have really, like, dealt with, well, been dealing with fear, and it's all, you know, wrapped around, like, the pregnancy and stuff, and I was, yeah, really dealing with fear, and God just gave me so many promises, and I've really, like, if I notice as soon as they come, like, even when I don't feel it, you have no idea, seriously, how many times I repeat those promises, like, numerous times a day. I declare them and declare them and declare them, because as soon as I can feel that little bit of worry coming, I know, you know what, this is not me, these are not the promises God's given me, these are the promises. Mightn't feel them right now, but I'm going to declare them because they're true.
Well, how to add to all that? Obviously, the seeking God thing is, you know, the core of, you know, dealing with, you know, the cares of life. And, you know, I think one of the things for me is it's learning that don't be taken by surprise by these things when they come up, because they're going to happen, and learning to adjust in those moments. And I really love that verse in Hebrews 12 where it says, you know, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. You know, and it's always a constant reminder to me, you know, to take my eyes off myself and my circumstance and to look upward and say, okay, I'm going to fix my eyes on God. All this stuff is happening around me. And in the, you know, from reading, like, the Proverbs 31 woman, there's this thing that grabbed hold of me in that, and it's that she had no cause to worry. She has no cause to worry. And when, you know, our eyes are fixed on God and we're seeking Him, He actually says, you know, you don't have to worry, because I'm actually going to take care of all this stuff that comes and, you know, and diverts you and grabs your attention. And it's that just stay in a place of absolute trust and, you know, closeness with God, and, you know, let Him take care of all of that stuff that is just there, you know, like, you got to put food on the table every day. You know, what am I going to make for dinner? All those kind of things. So, yeah, I just, it is really, it's not being taken by surprise from it and changing our focus.
In all of that, when stuff happens, how do you recognize that stuff is happening? And how do you pull yourself up when you find yourself really worrying about stuff?
Usually it's pretty obvious when that stuff is happening. And it's kind of like you've got to know yourself. And you've got to know, you know, your limitations. And when things are piling up and you're getting stressed out and, you know, obviously your focus has shifted. And it's just pulling yourself up and go, hang on a minute, what am I focused on here? And, you know, and just finding some peace in the midst of all of that. And really it is about, you know, pulling aside. And, you know, I have to, on the drive home, you know, to pick up my kids from school, I have to take 5. Because, you know, I've just been, you know, at a day's work kind of thing, and I'm, you know, sometimes I can be stressed out by all the stuff that still needs to be done, and I haven't got it all done. And, you know, I'm driving home and I've got then, you know, 5 children that are going to be demanding on my time and my energy and what I have to, you know, to bring to them. And sometimes I have absolutely nothing left. And, you know, I can start to, you know, feel really, really revved up by all of that. And, you know, I just take 5 in the car on the drive. You know, it's actually longer than 5 minutes, about 15. But, you know, I just use that time and I go, you know what, God, I need strength right now, because at any given moment, something could just tip me over the edge and, you know, I just need to focus on you for this moment and draw strength from you. It actually says to us that we draw our strength from our union with Jesus. And, you know, I think it's a daily thing for me where I go, there's too much pressure. I'm drawing strength right now, and just taking those moments, pulling aside. If I have to then go downstairs and pull out my Bible and spend, you know, 10 minutes just reading something and just, you know, centering myself, that's what I do. The kids will survive. Seriously, they do. The kids survive. The housework can wait, kind of thing. You know, yeah, I may have to run to the shops as well, but that it can all wait. You know, it can all wait. We just got to seek first.
That's good. I like what Ange said about the other stuff can just wait. It's actually not that important. Helen, and just pop up. And
well, when it happened last night for me, because I was just so overwhelmed. So I'm going to England tomorrow, if anyone doesn't know. And but before that, I've sort of got to organise ministry and appointments and who's coming and who can help and da 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 da. Phone calls and organise my personal stuff and my dog and da 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 and everything. And it was just like last night. I thought, well, there was today coming today and life group tonight and things I should do this afternoon. I thought, no, can't do it this afternoon. I've got to pack sometime. And I was just absolutely tired and overwhelmed. So I sat down and I did my writing to God and told him how I felt and just said, give it to you. Don't know how it's all going to happen. And I slept like a baby till 5 o'clock, and then I spent time with him then. And then, of course, he said, well, just after, and I said, well, what's the priorities today, you know? And so this afternoon, I do have to help somebody this afternoon, and I do have to do the things that I was going to leave until I got back. I have to do those. So it will all work out, and I'm quite at peace about all of that. Sometime I'll get packed, but it'll be right.
So, Helen, when the Bible says cast all our cares on God, what do you do to stop yourself from carrying them all back again?
From taking it all back again? I've got to pull myself aside a little bit and just say, God, I've got to be still. I need your peace. I give it back to you, and I've just got to wait on him until I've got that peace inside. If I haven't got that peace inside, I will take it all. I'm not letting it go. Yeah.
That's great. Do you notice there's a common theme in all of that? It's about spending time with God. It's about drawing aside. It's about taking time. And you know what? Sometimes the cares of the world actually seem so much that we forget to take that time with God. And it's important that we take time with God. This is really, I think, for us, one of the key things to get sorted in our lives as women, because we can be worrywarts. We just can be. And it really is key. So what weeds, what thorns, what cares of the world are choking out God's word in my life? It's a really good question to ask ourselves. What ones are actually choking out God's word and thoughts in our lives? Just take another break to deal with it. There's another question here. What do I personally need to do to pull out the weeds? You've heard what some of the girls here have said, but what do I personally need to do to pull out the weeds? Girls, there might be some scripture verses. There might be some words that God has given you. Liz talked about the promises that God gave her. The Bible is full of promises. My God will supply all my need according to his riches. I love that, because it's not according to my bank account. It's according to his riches. I tell you what, if the world relied on my bank account, it would be stuffed right there and now, but it doesn't. It relies on God's bank account. If you're praying for somebody and you're worried about their life, just God wants them to be saved. Pray for them. Seek God for them. Whatever the care is, if you have sickness issues, and obviously this morning lots of us do, if there are issues in our lives, seek the promise of God. The Bible says that God is my healer. Can I encourage you, as you're reading the word, to ask God, what are the promises that you want me to hold on to and draw on in my life? They're all there for all of us. But you will find that there are some that seem to more specifically build you up. There are some that will more specifically encourage you. And those promises are the ones to really write them down, read them, repeat them, do whatever you need to do to get them into your heart and into your mind so that when that bill comes in and it's more than you thought it would be, whose electricity bill has skyrocketed over the last year? So when that bill is more than you expect it to be, what's our tendency? Oh my gosh, the bill's more than I expect it to be. How am I going to pay that? And my God will supply all my need according to his riches. I've heard so many great stories of God supplying the need. Helen has just huge numbers of stories about God supplying the need. If you need some encouragement in that area, talk to Helen, because she's got some great stories about how God has supplied the need in lots and lots of areas, not just little areas, but in really big areas where God has supplied the financial need. Talk to Jen. Jen's got some great stories about how God has healed as she's held on to the promises that God is the one who heals her. Draw on the strength of other people. We don't walk this life alone, you know. As we finish up today and we ask ourselves some of these questions, let's have a look at the good soil just so we know what we're aiming for, okay? The good soil is the ideal and it's the aim for what we want. This is what good soil looks like. Good soil is well ploughed. Good soil is well ploughed. There is no hard ground. Good soil has all the stones removed from it. Good soil has no weeds. The weeds are dealt with and pulled out. Good soil is always well prepared to receive the seed. Good soil is always well prepared. And it says in the Bible that it would be 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Do you know you plant one seed, but if you plant wheat, you plant a wheat seed, and you get lots of wheat seeds on the end of it. You don't just get one seed from one seed. When you plant a seed and it grows, you get lots of seeds. And as you keep planting the seeds, you get lots more seed. And it says 30, 60, and 100-fold. I want the Word of God to produce 100-fold in my life. I want the Word of God to be able to multiply in my life. And I think if we can be well prepared, if we can get the soil of our heart right, then we can be prepared to hear what God has to say. Our hearts need to be well ploughed. They need to be free from the stuff that stops the Word of God penetrating and growing deep roots in our life. If we have the Word of God rooted in our life, then the stuff of the world cannot stop us from doing what God's called us to do. We need it deeply rooted in our life. And so I ask the question, are we well prepared in our hearts to hear what God is actually saying to us? Are we well prepared? I guess the key question is, what changes do I need to make in my life to ensure that my heart is ready to receive the word? What changes do I need to make in my life to ensure that my heart is ready to receive the word? Girls, if something is a priority for you, you'll make time for it. If the word of God is a priority, you'll make time for it and you'll do what the word says to do. So the conclusion is, prepare your heart well to receive God's word. God wants kingdom fruit. And our lives bear fruit when we allow God's word to produce a good crop in us. So our lives bear fruit. The Bible talks about a harvest of righteousness. It's a harvest of righteousness in our own life. A heart full of who God is. A heart full of the word of God. But it's also a harvest of righteousness in the souls that are saved and the other people that are impacted for the kingdom of God. And girls, if you're struggling in any of these areas this morning, you're not alone. You're not alone. I'm gonna open up the floor for you to come forward for prayer if you're struggling in any of these areas. I know we don't do it often, but I actually really believe that God wants us to deal with this stuff so that our hearts are really, really well prepared. If there's stuff that's catching you up, it might just be one little thing, but if there's stuff that's catching you up this morning, why don't we deal with it this morning and get it out of the way? So why don't we stand? And if you if you want prayer in that area, just come forward. I'll just move all this out of the way. Father, I thank you that you give us the opportunity to come before you. I thank you that we can hear from you. Father, I just pray that you will prepare our hearts before you as we come, Lord God. And Father, I just ask that for those that are struggling this morning, Lord, that you would really help them deal with the issues that are causing them to not be able to function in your kingdom as you would love them to be able to do, Lord. Father, we want the state of our hearts to always be right before you, to be prepared before you, Lord God. If that is you this morning, if you're struggling, maybe you just want to recommit your life to God this morning. If you want to do that, why don't you come forward and just declare before God. We're amongst friends here this morning. You're amongst people that really love you and care for you. If you want to come forward, otherwise if you want to stay in your seat, that's cool as well. Just allow God to work in your life.